welcome to Subspace with His Little Sophie. I'm Sophie, your effervescent hostess. This is a podcast for subbies by a subbie. This show covers things from the mundane to the sexually charged. So sit back, relax, and join the show. In today's show, I'm going to talk about mental issues and how it can affect submission. There are so many things that could be classified as a quote-unquote mental issue. I'm going to define mental issue as any type of experience or disorder or disease that affects a slave's or submissive's mental outlook and behaviors. Okay, so that could be mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, ADD or ADHD, schizophrenia, personality disorders, generalized anxiety disorder. It could be any type of disorder. I'm sure I've missed quite a few, but you get the idea of what I'm talking about. Any type of issue involving your mental state. I personally suffer from what is called generalized anxiety disorder. And I wanted to talk to you guys about that today is because I struggle with it every single day. You might have noticed I haven't posted in 2 weeks, and that's just because I was having a high anxiety period. I was just going through it where I hadn't been sleeping or anything, and whenever I'm like that, I try not to podcast because, number one, I don't want to infuse any type of negativity or any type of disordered thinking into my podcast. And it's kind of hard because during the whole podcast, I worry about how it's sounding and my mind's just all over the place and not basically where I wanted it to be in the podcast. So, basically, I started having issues with it about 3.5, almost 4 years ago when I was going through a divorce. My ex had been really pulling some mental numbers on me. I mean, I struggled with it before, but it really became noticeable then. And he manipulated that and used my children in that. And he just did a lot of things that I feel made the disorder worse and more prevalent. And I started noticing that it was affecting my quality of life. I had always been a little bit of what I called a worrier. But I never let the worries get to the point where it consumed my total waking day. So I decided, you know, I was talking to Master, and Master could see after a few months that I was having some frayed edges. And this was before we got married. And we both thought it was primarily due to the mental torture, or let's say mental abuse that he was putting me through. And so he just was very supportive. He was there for me. He soothed me. He did all the things that he could possibly do at a distance during that time. And it basically felt like I just had to suffer through and get through that time. My ex-husband and I were divorced at that time, but I was still living like 4 miles away from my children. And so their father had easy access to push my buttons. So it was quite some time. So finally, I got to the point where I was like, Master, I feel like I am going insane. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I can't stop worrying. I'm always thinking about what is he going to do. And once he does something, it always sets me off. And, you know, I said to him, I don't want to feel crazy. I don't want to be termed crazy or thought of as crazy. But I need some help coping with this stress because it is in the extreme. And I always thought situations, when I got those situations like that, I was really stressed out. Because even years before that, when I think about it, I would have episodes of when I'm extremely stressed out and get sick. But I never really, and since they were few and far between, I never really connected them. I just felt like, oh, I'm doing too much. Oh, you know, I'm exhausted. I've exhausted myself without completely knowing that I had. And, you know, I've stressed myself out to the point where I've gotten ill. So at that point, I would take 2 or 3 days and get my mind right. But then they became closer and closer together. And then it seemed like they never would go away. So I decided that I needed to go talk to someone. Prior to that, I had went to counseling at the age of 30. So about 8 years ago, I was in counseling for about 1.5 to 2 years. And I went into counseling because I was having those issues, but I didn't feel they were bad enough. I thought I had valid reasons because I was concerned about past sexual abuse I had had in my life and how that was affecting me as a mother. You know, I didn't know too much about it and I really couldn't understand, but that's another topic. But I was going to therapy for that reason. So I recognized when I needed to go talk to someone this time. So I was like, okay, you know, Master, I need to go talk to somebody, and how would you feel about that? And, you know, and he was totally supportive. He was like, go do what you need to do for yourself. And I went and started seeing someone, and the reason, I'm going to try to get more specific about what symptoms I was experiencing that prompted me, like my sleeping. I wouldn't sleep. At first, I just thought it was me wanting to be with Master and never wanting to get offline or never wanting, but or I just always thought I was a night owl. I always had nighttime jobs. I just thought that's the way I was wired, you know. I'm a night owl. I would explain that to people. I'm a night owl, you know. Oh, I don't sleep, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it wasn't so much because I was a night owl. It was just because falling asleep was difficult for me and staying asleep was difficult. Like, if I did fall asleep, I would wake up 4 hours later and just go, go, go right after that. And it would catch up to me. About 2 weeks of that would catch up, and then I would sleep maybe 10 hours, and then it would start all over again. My eating. I didn't overeat, and I was eating pretty healthily, but during the times that I would go through these episodes, I would just gnaw on, like, sugar, or just, I would have these intense sweet cravings, and eat candy and stuff. At that time, I was smoking, so I was just eating candy and smoking. It was like I was self-medicating with sugar and nicotine, which really aren't good for general anxiety disorder. But I was trying to find something that made me feel good, something that made the thoughts, the constant thoughts, the stress, the worries, the fears, all those things go away. It affected my mood a lot. And I already had other issues with hormonal issues, not menopausal, but I have a uterine fibroid, so it kind of affects my hormones. And the hormone fluctuation in combination with that really was sending my emotions on a roller coaster, crying 1 minute, laughing 1 minute, angry another minute. You know, just, and then the anxiety would kick in, like, you're going to push your master away. Your master's going to think you're totally a nut job, and he is going to give up on you. And so that would fuel more anxiety. So I said, okay, before I lose everything, my job, you know, my kids, my everything, due to my situation, I better go talk to somebody and try to make myself calm down and get myself together. So I went to a psychiatrist, and I took the tests. There was a lot of talking in the beginning and some paper and pencil tests, and we did that, and I wanted it now. I was like, come on, come on. My first couple of appointments, like, give me some drugs or something. But they didn't do that. You know, it was a lot of talking and a lot of trying to pinpoint or get a roadmap. And I know this, that psychiatry is really, I feel like we're a bunch of guinea pigs. I'm not going to say that in a negative way. I'm going to say because everybody's brain is different. They give you a map, but they don't pinpoint what's wrong with you because they really don't know. The mind is so hard to pin down. It's not like, oh, I see a bump. Oh, you put bump cream on it. You know, there you go. Cured. It's because it's mental. It's brain chemicals. So they started me out on some medications that really just didn't work right. I went through maybe 3 or 4 months of different medications. Some medications are making me have suicidal thoughts, and I never was kind of a suicidal person, but these drugs I was taking would make me be like, I wish I wasn't, you know, I just would be better, you know, just kinds of statements that made my master be like, it's that medicine, we are stopping that stuff, you got to go back to that doctor because this is not like you. But when you're going through it, you don't feel like it's not you. It feels like your mind just came to that rational conclusion. So that didn't work. And then other medicines to take made me gain so much weight. Oh my God, my cute little figure. You know, I had worked, after my divorce, I had worked to get 50 pounds off. It took me a whole year to do that. I took this medicine, 52 pounds came back in a year. Can you imagine my horror? Not because being a BBW was something wrong with that, but just because it was so much work for me. I mean, I put in a lot of time and effort, and it was one of the hardest things I had done in my life. And now I'm back facing, I told the doctor I couldn't take that because just it was making my anxiety worse, you know. I can't even fit all my clothes now, you know. And so we found something. We went on Prozac. And then the Prozac was doing something to the fact that I still wasn't messing with my sleep. So I had pills to kind of wake me up. And I had pills to kind of make me go to sleep. And it was about 5 or 6 pills a day. And I am such a naturalist. I am so into natural health, natural foods, and all these things that the very thought of taking those kinds of pills, those many pills anyway, horrified me because the side effects were just as bad as the freaking anxiety. Now, I'm not against doctors and I'm not about taking medicine. Guys, please don't, if you need to see somebody and they present you with the option to take medicine, please give it a shot. I'm not saying by any shape or form, but for me, with my disorder, it made it worse for me just because of the side effects fueled phobias I have, you know. And it just made things kind of worse. So I started trying to find a way. And, you know, Master and I want to have a baby at some point. And some of these medicines are not safe to take while you're pregnant. And I'm like, well, I don't want to get happy. You know, that's what I used to call it. I don't want to get happy and then, you know, have to go off of it or my baby grow a monkey tail or something. I don't, you know, this is just not acceptable to me. And then they go through the whole spiel of, well, the brain is a mini, you know. Yes, I understand that. I am educated. I understand that completely. But there's got to be a better way. This cannot be all there is. So I'm in that realm of where I'm searching for natural alternatives. And I'm doing some things that, like I said, it's the same thing. I'm playing with brain chemicals. So right now I'm working with some GABA, amino acid supplement called GABA. I'm also thinking about something called L-theanine, which synthesizes GABA in the brain, because oral GABA, so I've been reading, has a hard time passing the blood-brain barrier. Also, 5-HTP. I've tried 5-HTP alone, and I really felt like I didn't have any benefit, so, you know, I'm going to work with, you know, maybe combining them or something to that effect. In my submission, having a mental issue affected my submission. I felt like, wow, I was a lot of work. I felt like I had so much baggage. How could any master want me or love me? Or, you know, part of that was my anxiety disorder, and part of that was valid, because who wants to take on somebody with baggage? Because the way I see it, everyone has baggage. Everyone has a mental issue. It may not be a diagnosed one, but we all have mental issues and hang-ups and things from our past that affect how we live today. And I felt like, wow, I don't want to suck the life out of this beautiful man, because I know I'm a lot of work. I know that I deserve to be loved. I deserve to have a master. I am a good girl. But I also have a lot. Do you hear me, people? A lot of baggage. You know, I'm older than him. I have 3 children from a previous marriage with an ex-husband that is just, our relationship is complicated. I'm dealing with generalized anxiety disorder, which gives me extreme mood swings. I have hormonal issues. I mean, I'm just thinking, oh my God, he's going to run away screaming and kicking. He's going to, like, you ever see those cartoons where the people, instead of going out the door, they just run through the wall and it's just an imprint of their bodies going through the wall, and you could just see clouds of smoke through the hole that they left where they're running away as fast as they can. That's what I feel like he would do. You know, he has assured me that that's not the case, that this is doable, because he has issues that I deal with as well. And that's a whole nother podcast, which what we'll get into later. But he has issues too that I deal with, but I wouldn't think of leaving him. And so he says that he wouldn't think of abandoning me either. So I think that it does. And when I'm exhausted, you know, then those medications also can mess with your sex drive. So it was like times where I didn't feel like playing. He would want to play, and I didn't want to play. Then my anxiety kicked in. It's like, he's going to want to play with somebody else. You know, just crazy thoughts. And I'm using the word crazy loosely. I'm not saying, oh, if a person has a mental disorder that they're crazy. Because crazy is negative. I like to say negative, you know, and the fact that if we use crazy to describe every mental disorder, then we would be lumped in with all kinds of categories of molesters and murderers and all of that. And so I'm just going to say, you know, I say crazy just facetiously. But there's also a lot of stigma attached to it. You know, you really don't want to say that you have these issues that you're struggling with each day, because you don't want someone to term you crazy. And we all get crazy. You know, it's life. You know, one person, I'm on some forums for my anxiety, and some person was like, you just have to accept yourself. You just have to accept that you have anxiety. If you're going to have a bad day, I'm like, I'm not at that stage in my life where I'm just accepting it. I'm a fighter. I'm a scrapper. I'm battling the hell out of this. I refuse to believe that I can't take control of my life back. That's why I'm actively pursuing this. I'm not going to just lay down and let it rob me of my family, rob me of my job, rob me of my quality of life. I feel like if you lay down, this disease is so strong that it just robs you. You know, I feel like it's robbed me of so many things that I can't enjoy the moment because I'm being robbed by anxiety. You know, I can't just be, no matter how hard I fight it, you know, I have to fight off thoughts constantly instead of just being and enjoying a moment. Meditation, I love meditation. I used to meditate, and now that peace, that delicious feeling of calm and peace that I used to feel when I meditated, I don't seem to achieve it. It's like I struggle in that as well. I just think that there is a connection. I think a lot of submissives, maybe if you guys think about it, have you ever noticed that a lot of submissive have you guys ever noticed that a lot of submissives have issues? And that's probably why we need a dominant. I've read on some boards where people, submissives with mental issues, use their doms as medicine, their relationships as medicine. And there is some validity to that, because master can get me to go to sleep. When I'm laying next to him and I'm just off on a tangent, my mind is off somewhere, master can touch me. He can stroke my leg. Like, it's this thing I do that I used to do. I don't do it anymore, but I used to rub my leg constantly, like soothe, like self-patting, like self-soothing, and I would just stroke my leg, and it would calm my heart down enough for me to go to sleep. When I can't go to sleep, master just automatically does that. Like, he used to see me do it or whatever, and he will just lay next to me. He'll spoon me, and he'll just stroke my leg for me. Just stroke it, just calm me down. He knows all these techniques, these little hypnosis things and whatever, and he can get me to go to sleep when I'm at a certain point. When I'm beyond that, then there's really nothing he can really do, save bonk me on the head with a mallet or something like that. But there, he is my medicine. He can calm me down. Sometimes, like I said, if I'm at the really height of it, he can't. But most times, a hug, telling me everything is going to be all right, him understanding, just being who he is. He is like medicine to me. He's not a substitute for medicine. I'm not going to even put him there like that. But being around is soothing and calming and helpful to me. So I can see, it's not a far stretch where I could see that some people would use their master as their medication. Just like people use food. You know, you're self-medicating. You're trying to replace that lacking thing, the thing you need, with something else. So, you know, some people use food, some people use nicotine, some people use caffeine, some people use drugs. I'm not a, I would probably be the biggest drug addict if I didn't dislike drugs. I don't like that feeling of being drugged, so that's out for me. I can't go smoke some crack or smoke some marijuana or drink, you know, and drinking, you know. My family has a high history of alcohol abuse, and I've seen too many things happen, so that's out for me. And I'm just like, crap, you know, so I guess Master is it, you know. He's gonna, food, oh, I've used food to self-medicate, but that doesn't help either, and cigarettes. So, I mean, we use things. Is it a bad thing? I don't think so, in a way. I think it's kind of a symbiosis. My master gets something out of being my master, and I get something out of being his submissive. So I think it's kind of that type of thing. Just think about it, guys. We do what we do because it makes us feel good. And is that wrong? A lot of psychologists try to understand us in this lifestyle. They try to understand the mentality of the dominant, the mentality of the submissive, and they just can't get it. I think something, there's a connection somewhere in between that. But does that make you a bad person? However, whichever way we've come into this lifestyle, what prompted us to do it, I think that a lot of us are happier. I know I am. Well, that's all for today, guys. I just wanted to kind of share that and say thank you also for all the emails that I got during the last 2 weeks. You guys really, really perked up my spirit, you know, because when I go through my height of anxiety, sometimes I think, is anybody even listening? And you guys really, really showed me that you are listening. And I thank you for your support and your encouragement. And I'll see you next time. You have been listening to Subspace with His Little Sophie. Once again, I would like to thank you for joining us today, and I hope to see you again next time.